So, Bishut Moreh V'Rabotai, with the permission of Hashem and the permission of the Torah Kedusha, the parasha, it's Parashat Bo, and there is something in Parashat Bo that you would love to hear, and you will be very, very happy that you will hear it. And this parasha will find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he did show Paro that he is the Baal HaBayit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Paro that Paro, because Paro he considered himself as God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Paro that Paro is nothing. He's nothing. And the Gemara said that Paro, he was a big witchcraft, he was a big mechashef. He did a lot of magic. He was a big magic man, and he was a very, very small man. He was not, he was a, you know, very, very small, you know, not an ordinary man, you know. They have to lift him to sit in his throne. He was very, 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 very small man. And even though that he was very small man, he was a big Baal Avodah Zarah. It's incredible. You cannot imagine the strength that that he had. And when he started, when Hashem gave him all the makot, Paro, he understood there is Hashem. But it was very far, it was very hard from him to realize that he had to do teshuvah. He had to stop. He had to finish with all what he's doing to the Jews. It was very hard for him. I mean, he should understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, the Jews is going to be slave in Egypt for a certain moment, and then they have to leave. But Paro didn't want to give them to leave. I mean, it's like if I work by you five hours a day, you cannot stop me to work with you 10 hours a day. It's normal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem is super, that the way Paro he was behaving with the Jews, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to punish him very, very strongly. Because at least, instead of Paro said to Hashem, okay, Hashem, forgive me for what I did to the Jews, because instead of considering them as slaves, as you wished, and I did more than that what you wanted for them. So at least he should say sorry to Hashem. But he did not say sorry. He was so mean. He was so bad to them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he couldn't stand it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one day, he had to push him very, very hard to show Paro that he is nothing. Nothing. And then in the parasha of this week, Parashat Bo, Hashem, he said to Moshe, you tell Paro that now there is only three makot to go. Arve, Hoshech, Makat Bechorot. Only three makot to go. And after, that's it. Well, now let's start. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro. He said, hey, you know what it is, Arve? In French, we say Arbe Lesotrel. Makat Arbe, you know, Lesotrel. You know what it is, Lesotrel? You know, the parish of this week, it was it was, you know, Hosher, darkness, Makat Bechorot, all the firstborn were killed, and Arbe. Arbe, you know, it's like small animals, you know, that you find them in the desert. The what? Locust, maybe. You know, you find them, you know, as I remember last year, there were billions of them in Mauritania, you know. They came, you find them in the desert. When they came by billions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, tell him I'm going to send him Arve. And this Makkah, it will finish with Egypt. I mean, this Makkah, it will be so strong. So the Paro, you could stand it. And it will be a big Makkah that he will receive. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro and he told him. So Paro, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, well, I will think about it. So Moshe Rabbeinu went out. So the Avadim, the slave of Pharaoh, they said to Pharaoh, Haterem Teda, Kev the Mitzrayim. You don't see that Egypt, it's finished. I mean, it's finished. I mean, there is nothing, no food. I mean, all the makot of the plague, the makot that Hashem give us, they were terrible. They were so strong. Now it's finished. You have to let the Jews go. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to come back to Paro. Paro, he said, bring Moshe Rabbeinu back. So Moshe came back to Paro. He said, yes. So Paro, he said, tell me, you want to go to serve Hashem? He said, yes. So he said to Moshe, Mi v'mi aholchim, who's going to go to serve Hashem? Who? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ben Arenu, all the young generation, all the young people, the old people, the children, our daughters, our sheep, our bakar, our you know, the cows, you know, all what we have, ki hag lashim lanu, because we want to go from here. So Pari said, okay, you want to go, but why you know, if you go, I see that something bad is going to happen to you. I see a star, a kohav, that his name is Ra. You heard this, yes? And this star, his name is Ra. And this star is going to find you in the desert, is going to kill you. So don't go. But if you want to go, let the old people go. But don't take the children. The children did not know how to pray. I mean, you want to go to serve Hashem, okay? Take those who knows how to serve Hashem. Take the old people, but don't take the children. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. To serve Hashem, it's very important for us to take the children. Because our education, when we start to give education, when to know Hashem, we have to start to give the education to the children since they are a baby, like you. Since your children are a baby, you teach them to say the brachot, yes or no? You teach them to say Shema Israel, you talk to them about Hashem. Otherwise, if you don't teach your children nothing about Hashem, you just let them watch TV, you just let them play, you know, with the ordinator, you know, and play with emails, internet, God forbid, and when they grow up, you start to tell them about religion, they will not listen to you. All the education that me, I had, it was when I was a baby. Since I remember myself, my father gave me Jewish education. So that's what Paro said, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, Paro, you think that we have to take the children, we have to take the young people to see, that they should see the way we serve Hashem. And when they see the way we serve Hashem, they will know, they will learn how to serve Hashem. You look, this is Mi v'mi ha'olchim. Paro said to Moshe, what the meaning of holchim? Holchim that mit Torah, v'im b'chokotai telechu. Who is going to go? To go to study Torah, to receive Torah, to learn how to serve Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, do you think we can choose who will go to learn Torah? Do you think we can choose who will go with us to receive the Torah? All of us will have to go. Even the children, the old people, everybody. So Paro said, well, if you do that, I think we can all die. So Paro, it's like Paro. It was a little bit. He felt so sorry for the Jews. He said to Moshe, "Please, Moshe, don't go, all of you, because if you go, I see something bad's gonna happen to you in the desert. So only take the old people, those people who want to go to who have a seichel, who have a good mind. They will learn Torah, but don't take the children." So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "No. The education starts when we are children. But I would like just to understand, who Why Pharaoh? He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you go, I see something bad is going to happen to you. I mean, can you imagine? Think a little bit. If I don't love somebody and I see an astrology that something is going to happen to him, would I tell him? No. So, Pharaoh, he hid the Jews. Of course, he hid the Jews. The only way that he wanted to keep them, because not because he loved them, he hid them. He needed slaves. Because he really, if he loved them, why he killed them, why he did bad things to them. So, Bemet, I would like to understand why Pharaoh, he warned Moshe. He said to Moshe, if you go, something bad is going to happen to you. I see in my astrology that there is a star that his name is Ra, and this star, he will kill all of you in the desert. I don't understand why Pharaoh, he give this advice to Moshe. And look what happened. Look, please, what happened. When Moshe Rabbeinu, I think he made it clear to Pharaoh that he don't care about his advice, the Torah said, "Vaygaresh otam me'et pnei Pharaoh." They threw them away from the face of Pharaoh. So Rashi said, I don't know who threw Moshe Aaron from the face of Pharaoh. I don't know. Do you know, David? Did you see this pasuk or not? Vaygaresh otam me'et pnei Pharaoh. And Rashi said, we don't know who threw them. I mean, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu, he could be said to Pharaoh, no, we don't care about your advice. So somebody threw them from the face of Pharaoh. But who threw them? The slaves? Huh? Or Pharaoh? Tell me, who? Because it's very hard for me to say it were the slaves who threw them from the face of Pharaoh, because it was the slaves. It was the you know the Avdei Pharaoh. I mean the Leprosh, the close people that they were so close to Pharaoh. It was them who advised Pharaoh to let the Jews go, and that's why Pharaoh he called back Moshe and Aaron. So it's very hard for me to say the one who threw them from the face of Pharaoh, it was the posh, the close friend of Pharaoh. And it was not Pharaoh as well who threw them away, because if it was Pharaoh who threw them away, the Torah should say, Vegaresh otam Pharaoh. Pharaoh, he threw them away from his face. But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk does, and he threw them from the face of Pharaoh. But who? Who threw them? Understand, this is the question. Who threw them? Huh? We don't know. We don't know because the Torah doesn't say. The Torah doesn't say. Well, this is what I want to explain to you. This is something incredible. You know what it is the what it is the what it is the tachlis of a Jew in this world? What is his tachlis? His tachlis is not just to be a eved, a slave of money. A slave of of ta'anugim, to enjoy yourself. I mean, the tachlis is, I mean, you have to work, you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to get married. Of course, you have to enjoy yourself. I mean, and you have to pray. I mean, there is a tachlis, there is a seder, there is a program. It's like when you wake up in the morning for a businessman, when you wake up in the morning, he has a program. I'm not a businessman, I am a rabbi. When I am in Mexico now, I have a program. I have a 6-day program, and my program is full. Bemet is full. I mean, I don't have. I mean, I cannot. I cannot accept another invitation because I am full. You understand? I have a program. A man in this world, as well, he has a program. If you're a Jew, so you have a program. There is a program. The program that Hashem give you, that you eat. That you're born, you grow, you go to you get a good Jewish education, and then you become autonomous, and then you can work, you sleep, you get married, you join yourself, you have to rest, you have to eat, you understand? There is a program. I mean, you cannot serve, but if you follow your program, you will find that the program, your life program, you will find that only few percentage you give to Hashem. You listen to me? Only few percentage you give to Hashem. Most of your life, it goes with food, talking, business, eating, enjoying yourself, and then you have few months in all your life. If you calculate, you know, all the hours that you give to Hashem, only few, okay? Only few. But one thing, so that means it's like we waste time, yes or not? It's like wasting time. I mean, if when after 120 years, when we will say Hashem, we will find ourselves a little bit empty. I mean, our life it was ridiculous. But if we eat with brachot, if we are kovei ha'itim la Torah, we fix some seder, a time to study Torah. When we don't talk lashon hara, when we do business, you know, without stealing money from to nobody, that means Hashem can make that all our life, it was our life for Hashem. Because all what I do it nicely. The business, I do it nicely. I sleep because I have to serve Hashem. I eat because I have to sleep to serve Hashem. I have to rest because I have to serve Hashem. So that means Akash Hu can make out of all your life all your life went a good life. Now, Pharaoh, he could not understand all this. A goy for him, he has no Torah. He doesn't believe on nothing. A goy, even if he believed more to eat in food and enjoying himself more than in everything else. Okay? I mean, Pharaoh, he said to Moshe, you want to take everybody from here? I don't understand. Take those who can do something, who can act, who can pray, who can learn, who have sechel. I don't understand why you have to force children, why you have to force old people. I mean, why you have to? What's this? I don't understand. What is this kind of saving Hashem? Mi v'mi ha'olchem. Who and who? Mi v'mi. Who and who? I mean, what they mean? Who and who are going? I mean, Pharaoh said to Moshe, think a little bit. I mean, take those who want, make a vote, who want to go to serve Hashem. Make a vote. Why you have to force everybody to go to serve Hashem? Ha'olchim is ve'ibachokoyet elechu. Why you have to force everybody to go to the desert to receive the Torah? Look, in the desert, I see something bad's going to happen to you there. Why? Why you have to, at least if something bad happened to you there, so the old people will die. At least the young people, they don't die. You understand? You understand me? Because I see something bad's going to happen to you. So why you have to force people to go? Why you have to force people to go to serve Hashem, to study, to know about Hashem? Take the old people, if something bad happened to them, so, because anyway, something bad is going to happen to them. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, hey, Pharaoh, we take everybody. Everybody is going to come with us. If something has to happen to us, so it happened to all of us. Because if something happened to all the old people, don't think that those who will remain in Egypt, they will be saved. Because they will be assimilated. And it's worse if a Jew is assimilated than if he die. It's better for him to die as a Jew than being assimilated. So I cannot leave it here. So look, there is here a problem that Paro cannot understand, because a goy never can understand a Jew. A goy cannot understand a Jew. Why? Because the goy don't have the conviction that a Jew has. A Jew, since he's a baby, he has another view of living. He has another view how to serve Hashem. We teach him something that no one can understand. No one can understand. Now, one thing, this is what I want to tell you. Pharaoh, it was, it's like he showed Pao, he showed to Moshe Rabbeinu that he has a tzar, like he has a little bit of tzar, that all those Jews, something can happen to them. So you know what, Pao was very, very clever. Pao, he knows that when there is a rumor, you understand, when there is a rumor, like you know, I remember when I was a baby, it was a rumor that in the city, in the town where I was born, is going to happen there an earthquake. It was a rumor, I don't know. There was a rumor. Do you know what happened? The rumor said, you know, it was about 50 years ago. 50 years ago. I was only 7 years old at that time. And that rumor said that you know, it was Erev Shabbos, that it's going to be, you know, an earthquake. You know what happened? Most of the Jews, not all the people, they left their home. They left. They were afraid. But nothing happened. You know why? This rumor was already, it was the Goyim who threw this rumor, so they, when the Jews will leave the house, they cannot take the money on Shabbat, so they will steal the money from the houses. So, Pao was very clever. He wanted to, I mean, he don't love the Jews. So why give an advice to Moshe? Good, let the old people go, and let the young people remain. What, Pao, he loves so much the Jews? No. Pao wanted to create a rumor that something bad is going to happen to Jews in the desert. So if there is a rumor, so the Jews, they will not leave Egypt. It's like Pao, he wanted to make a revolution. Did you understand that or no? So, Pao, I mean, I don't understand. There is a problem between Moshe, and there is a problem at a discussion between Moshe and Pao. Who's gonna go? Pao is give advice to Moshe. Let the young people stay, I mean. Take the old people. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I take the old people as well. Because the Jewish education, it starts from when we are young. And it's impossible to leave them. So Pao, he gave an advice. So Pao, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, look, Moshe. Children, I see something bad is going to happen to the Jews in the desert. So let the children here. And if something bad happened to them, so the old people will die, but not the young people. So we did ask one question. So why Pao give this advice to Moshe Rabbeinu not to let the young people go from Egypt? So if something bad happened to the old people, at least the young people will remain alive. I mean, does he love them? Pao does love Jews. So what kind of advice he give? But the answer is, Pao wanted to create a revolution. He wanted to create a rumor that something bad is going to happen to the Jews in the desert, so the Jews will not go. But Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, of course, he did not accept the advice of Pao. Why did not accept the advice of Pao? Because he said to Pao, if something bad is going to happen to the Jews, so it would happen to the whole Jews, not just a part of them, the desert, and the rest, nothing would happen to them. Because if, God forbid, Hashem Shalom, the Jews who will remain in Egypt will stay in Egypt, they will be assimilated. So it's worse that if they die. You know, the nest of... why we do the Chanukah? Do you know why we do Chanukah? Because the Greek, they didn't want to kill the Jews. Yes, they wanted to turn them from the Torah. So that's what Moshe said to Pao. You want Do you want me to take the old people? And if something bad happened to them, they will die. Okay, but what will happen to the young? You want them to save their life, but if their life, if say it's saved, they will be assimilated. So it's better that they will come with us if something happened to the Jews. So it will happen to all of us, not to only to some of them, to all of us. That was so. Now, Vaygaresh otam me'et pnei Paro. Our second question was, who threw Moshe and Aaron from the face of Paro? Who? Because the Torah don't say who. So who? Who threw them from what? Who? We don't know. It was not the people who were close to Paro. It was not Paro. So who? Do you have an idea who? What? Why not? Because the people who were close to Paro, they saw already this. They said to Paro, Egypt, it's most of Egypt is destroyed. Why you keep those Jews in Egypt? Let them go. Always we saw that the people that they are close to Paro, they were against the Jews to remain in Egypt. They were against. Didn't want. So it's impossible to say that the people who are close to Paro will throw those people from Paro. No. It's impossible for me to think about that. Probably somebody else. So I think that just maybe Paro, he started, listen to this, it's very deep what I'm gonna tell you. Paro, he began to be like a pro-Jew. He start to talk about Hashem. And now he understand who is Hashem. He's not anymore a kofer. He's not anymore somebody who don't believe on Hashem and the existence of Hashem. Now Paro became, like he said to Moshe, go and serve God, Hashem. And the approach of Paro, he said to Paro, look, the Hashem is so strong. If we carry on keeping the Jews in our land, it will be the end of Egypt. So please save your life at least. So Paro started to do teshuva. But for Paro, it was very, very hard for him to get rid from all the Jews. Very hard. Why? Because Paro, even that he did not love the Jews, but he started to admire them. Understand? He started to admire them. And because he started to admire them, so it was hard for him now that they will die outside Egypt. Because now he saw what he saw. He saw that the Jews can die. You understand? So it was very not for him. For him, if the Jews die, it was very, very hard for him to you know, he wanted something. He wanted to keep them. But something else happened. You know what? You know what happened? By guys who threw them, it's the Klippa. The Klippa of Egypt, the Tum'ah of Egypt, because don't forget that Paro, he was the head of the Klippa. He was the head of the Klippa. And Paro, he was a big Mechashev. He was, the proof that he considered himself as God. I mean, and people believed him. How can they believe him? Because it's like he proved them that he has some kochot surnatural. Understand? He showed them this. But the Klippa, they saw that Paro started to do like teshuva. וגרש אותם מעץ, לוקה, וגרש אותם מעץ. Look, you have a chumash in your hand? You have a chumash or not? Vaygaresh otam me'etz. Otam me'etz is the same word. Alef tav mem, alef tav mem. It's pasuk yud alef. It's pasuk yud alef. Just one pasuk before Shini. Vaygaresh otam me'etz pnei paro. Vaygaresh otam, otam, alef tav mem. Mem alef tav is the same letters. Otam. If you read the two letters, it's emet, emet. Now, who threw them? It's the klipa, because the klipa, because the klipa up to now, she was strong. The klipa, it's not Hashem is the emet, it's the klipa who is the emet. It's not the Torah is the emet, it's the klipa, it's the tumah is the emet. So that was the klipa. She said to Paro, Paro, you start to do teshuva, you start to go to believe the emet, you start to believe in God, you start to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emet, 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 it's Moshe Aaron that they represent the Torah, and the emet is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adonai Elohechem emet, Hashem is emet. So it's like the klipa, when the klipa saw the way Paro now, he started to believe, he started to do teshuva, he started to give advice to Paro, he started to, and the, so the klipa, she was afraid that she will lose Paro. And if the klipa will lose Paro, it's finished for the klipa. There will be no tumah anymore in Egypt, and then the Jews will go out from Egypt. You understand? You like that? Now it's the klipa, it's the tumah, because Paro, he represents the tumah. So now the tumah came on person to say to Paro, so the klipa, they threw them from the face of Paro, so that Paro will not answer. Because it was a fabulous conversation. The prosh of Paro, they said to Paro, the close people of Paro, send the Jews. So what the Torah said, Paro, he called Moshe Aaron. Okay, why you want to go? Don't go, leave the children, take only the old people. No, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we want to go to serve Hashem, we want to go to accept the Torah with everybody. So Paro, he feels sorry. What about the young people? I don't want to happen, something bad to happen to them there. If you take them, they will die. And let them enjoy themselves. Go you. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, if we have to teach them how to serve Hashem. So Paro said, please, but I see a star that his name is Ra, that this star is going to kill you in the desert. So please, why you have to die, all of you? A portion of you will die, but the rest will remain alive if they stay here. Of course, Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said no. So maybe now that Moshe Rabbeinu said no, maybe Paro will accept. And if he will accept, that means that means the klipa is finished. That means Hashem is emet, the Torah is emet, Moshe Aaron is emet, Am Israel emet. That means that's it. That means maybe even Paro he will go with them. That means the klipa will lose all their koah. Now, beside this, now Paro he gives advice, a kind of advice like that, you don't tell a kind of advice. If you see your enemy is going to die, you don't tell him you're going to die, let him die. So the klipa start to see that Paro, he start to change. He was nearly going to say to Moshe, okay, Moshe, you can go. Take, go, get out from here. So the klipa could not decide. If Pharaoh withdrew them from his face, that means the end of the klipa. You understand? So now you see, Pharaoh, he nearly arrived to the Emet. He arrived to the Emet. Now he arrived mamash to the Emet. He understood there is Emet. He understood that the Jews, they need to go to know who is Hashem. It must be, they should start from the beginning, from the, when they are babies. It's not when they are old people. You know, if you want to have a tree in your house, if you plant a tree, if you don't put water in the tree will die. Yes or no? Now, if you want to give a Jewish education to your child, from the beginning you have to give him. It's not when he gets old. When he gets old, it's finished. You understand? It's finished. So from the beginning you start. So the klipa, they saw on Paro a man that now is changing. Is completely changing. That way, Begaresh Ota, that was the klipa. The klipa, because the klipa saw that Paro, he started to revelate the Sodot, reveal it what's going to happen to the Jews. Why you reveal them? Don't tell them nothing. If something's going to happen to them, so let them go. So they will do the Avodah Zarah and Hashem will kill them. Why you have to warn them? Why you have to keep, don't tell them nothing. Be strong, remain strong. That's what the Klipa wanted from Paro, to remain strong, to face, to fight Moshe, Aharon, to remain strong, not to let himself down. That's what the Klipa wanted from Paro. And Paro, now he started to change. That's what the Torah said, Pnei Paro. The face of Paro, because the face of Paro starts to change. I mean, there is a difference when you sit in front of somebody and you argue with him and he accuse you, and then you start to convince him and he starts to believe you. At the beginning, you could see his face, you know, he had a face, you know, a horrible face. And now you can see that the face is changing. When you see the face is changing, that means that you convince him. You understand? Now the klipa saw that Paro is now is convinced, he is convicted. He believes Moshe. Now it's like in the hand of Moshe. Now he believes Moshe Rabbeinu. Now maybe he will give the elders. Okay, let the whole Jews go. Let the children. Let the son. You know, the sheep. The daughters. The babies. The old people. The young people. Let everybody go. Before Paro said that, the klipa threw those Moshe Aaron from the face of Paro. Why the face? Because the klipa saw that the face of Paro completely changed. Now this is fabulous. You know, it's I would like just to tell you a little story, fabulous story about you know, I was reading this morning a fabulous story. You have to know that a man, he should always have ambition. You know, there is a lot of kind of ambition. There is ambition of a lot of things, to be rich, ambition to be a doctor, ambition to be this. There is, but all kind of ambitions, they have limit. They have limit. But one thing, there is no limit. It was Rav Moshe Feinstein, Alav Shalom, when he was a baby, Rav Moshe Feinstein. When he was a baby, when he was 9 years old, and the night of Shabbat, his father learned with him all the Gemara of Betza on one night. And the same, when Reb Moshe Feinstein, when he was 12 years old, the night of Kippur, he did not go to sleep, and he learned the whole Masechet of Yoma with his father. And before they started the Tfilah of Yom Kippur, they finished the Gemara of Yoma. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said that what helped him to be after a big poisek, a big rabbi, not because it was a gift that Hashem gave him. That was his shifa, that was his ambition. He said, everyone is limited about his ambition. I mean, a poor man, can he be ambitious to be rich? I mean, unless if he start a business. If he start a business, and it's depend how much money he has. I mean, if he has only $10, what can he do with $10? I mean, that means all kind of ambition. I mean, a man that he never studied to be a doctor, he tell you, oh, David, my ambition is to be a big professor, a big cardiologist, a big doctor. He's mad because it's impossible. It's impossible to be ambitious because he has no, he cannot. I mean, it's impossible because in anything in the world, there is you are limited in the ambition. But when it comes to Torah, if you say to yourself, I want to be Gadol Batorah, so Hashem can help you. Your ambition on the Torah, it's fabulous. You know, when I was a baby, always my ambition is one day that I will be like my grandfather. So I work. Maybe one day I will be like my grandfather. I mean, everyone should have a shifa on the Torah. And to have the shifa on the Torah, show F, ambition only when you're a baby. We give you the time. You test what it is shifa of the Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro. Paro, to give to our people shifa, ambition, to serve Hashem, because the Torah is not easy, because not everybody has the shifa on the Torah. But when they are babies and you push and you give them, you give them chinuch, good Jewish education, you give them Torah, like these two stories that I told you about Moshe Feinstein, that his son, he was only 8 years old. All the Masechet of Sukkah, they learned all the Masechet. It's impossible, Bemet. I don't know how did he, all the Masechet of Betzah. How did he do that? And a baby that he doesn't sleep, Erev Kippur, it's impossible. Have you heard that in your life? Never. I've never heard that in my life. This is the when you love Torah, when you give to your children the love of the Torah, the love of Hashem, anything can happen. The shifa, because the Torah will help you not to sleep all night. Erev Kippur, it will help you. For the Torah, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, how can I leave the children here? And I take only the old people. It's impossible. Because those old people, okay, they will accept Hashem. They will accept the Torah. That's it. What about the young people? We come back to teach them. But by the time that we teach it, they will grow. The shifa, the ambition to serve Hashem, they will lose it. The shifa starts when they are babies, when they are young. So we have to take them. If we don't take them, it's going to be dangerous for them. So Paro said, but something bad is going to happen to them. They may die there. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I prefer that they will die as a Jew than they will die as an Egyptian if they remain there. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, this is what we learned from this parasha.